Our community connection on the way next, brought to you this morning by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, by Tallgrass Motors and First Baptist Church. We'll talk about a new hospice service to the Bartlesville area. They've been around for a while, but we'll talk with the folks from Grace Hospice in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And our community connection this morning, I get the opportunity to talk with, I should have asked you on the pronunciation again, Livanina. Is that correct, Livanina Gosnell?
Good morning. Yes, it's Livanina Gosnell.
And then also Paul Smith joining us this morning. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Nice to have you in today. And the concept of hospice, I know, has become more and more, people have become more and more informed, I guess, over the last roughly 15 to 20 years. I know it's been in existence nationally since the 80s or so, but sometimes we saw them in the large metropolitan areas, but not so much in Copan and Barnsdall and Sepulpa and some of the other places around the state of Oklahoma.
That is correct, yes. We are in Tulsa since 17 years now, but have recently expanded to the Bartlesville area, and we are now also other than patients looking for volunteers.
That's great. And I know that like any nonprofit, and certainly the other hospice organizations that I'm familiar with, you have a need for volunteers. And it, I'm sure there, while there is work for everybody, if you are particularly drawn to spending time with patients, that you are particularly needed, right?
Absolutely. There is a volunteer position for just about anybody. We're particularly, however, looking for volunteers in this area that enjoy seeing patients, visiting with them. There's no personal care required. This is just being there for them to have a friendly visitor, either for the patient or the caregiver.
And I think that's important to notice because I think some people may initially shy away, well, I'm not a medical provider or I don't know anything about, and I think it comes down to more or less being a friend.
Absolutely. You mentioned a good point. There is no medical experience necessary whatsoever. We provide all the training that is needed. There's comprehensive training, getting you comfortable visiting a patient.
And so we're going to, that's what we're going to be talking about. And you need volunteers, but you're going to give them all the training that they need. They can walk in theoretically as a blank slate, and you're right on their slate for them.
Absolutely, yes. We have a little bit of an application process, filling out the application, some background checks and references, but once they have all of those things in file, I schedule about 4-hour volunteer training, getting them comfortable with everything they need to know. They can even shadow a current volunteer if they like to get them even more comfortable seeing patients
and
caregivers.
With your role as a volunteer coordinator, you would be among the first people that a potential volunteer would meet then.
Yes, absolutely. And I try to accommodate, as I mentioned earlier, our office is in Tulsa, but for any applicants in the Bartlesville area, I'm more than willing to come up here and meet you in a public area. We can also do the volunteer training in this area, so that's not a problem for me at all.
Start off, let's say, in one of our eating establishments, whether it's fast food or fine dining, and go from there.
Yes, exactly. I've had several interviews at Starbucks already.
That was one of the first things that came to mind. Maybe it's just, let's say, cold weather, and I'm looking for something warm this morning. I don't know. We also have in the studio a volunteer, Paul Smith. Thanks for coming in this morning, Paul.
Thank you.
And you're already working as a volunteer. How long have you been volunteering for hospice?
I've started volunteering at Grace Hospice, or at Clare House.
Oh, wow.
And I did that. I've done that for a little over 4 years. And then for 2 years, I've been with Grace. And At Clare House, it's a facility, so I go visit people there. And then with Grace, I go out to where the people are located. Usually they're in some sort of a health facility when mm-hmm. I go visit them, although sometimes you can be in their house and relieve relieve the healthcare person, the person responsible, and let them go do things that they need to do and have somebody with their spouse.
I think that's one of the nicest things about hospice is that you meet the client wherever they happen to be, whether it's a rather intensive in a hospital type situation or whether it's they're moving on through the process at home.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Overall, you've done it for a number of years. You must find it pretty satisfying overall.
I do, because the people that you are talking to need somebody to talk to, and they're going through obviously something very traumatic, and so having somebody there that understands what they're going through, and yet allows them to talk about whatever they want to talk about. So or just be present, mm-hmm. just be there as a presence for them.
Leva, there are four types of volunteers that I understand you're particularly looking for, and we'll spend a little bit of time talking about them. The first one, this one really makes sense to me, a patient companion. Basically, what we've been talking about, someone that is just spending time with the patient, right?
Exactly. This is your regular hospice volunteer who goes out. They're assigned to specific patients. I like to assign them maybe if they have something in common. If not, that's okay too. I let them know as much as information as I have about the patient, maybe what their hobbies were, what they used to do for a living, were they in any service. And then it is up to the volunteer to go out and visit that patient. It can be up as little as one time a month, or for volunteers like Paul, who visits that patient almost every day. That is really up to the volunteer and what their time allows.
So I guess I hear you saying, I'm going to compare it to a Big Brothers Big Sisters match. If you find a patient and a volunteer, and I'm pulling this out of the air, if you both like to play pinochle, then let's play some games, you know?
Absolutely. We had volunteers play bingo, dominoes, Scrabble, or they would listen to opera if that's what they had in common, talk about art, whatever the interest is, I try to match them.
That's mm-hmm. a great idea, and that's probably among the places you fit people in the continuum. Seems like an easy place to fit somebody, from your point of view.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you have to choose the right individual to say this is going to be a good companion, a good friend. But mm-hmm. if you both like opera, then you know, Beverly Sills, go for it. You know.
Yes, this volunteer should not be afraid of visiting the dying. Have a calming presence, comforting presence. But that's about all. Like I said, they don't need to have medical experience or have done this in the past.
About how long is the training process for a typical volunteer in that job?
It is about 4 hours for the general training. A volunteer that visits patients would go through that. We talk about the history of hospice, about the interdisciplinary team that's behind every patient. We talk about how a patient comes on service, and then a couple medical terms, and then getting the volunteer familiar with visiting the dying, the signs and symptoms of that, and then volunteer documentation as well at the end of training.
Okay, sounds like, yeah, exactly what I would expect anyway. Then you have something, I love the acronym, Bedside Emotional Support Team, better known as BEST, and I think we all want the best.
That is right. This program was started about 2 years ago. It is a program specifically for actively dying patients when they have either no family around or the family has been sitting at the bedside of this actively dying patient for several hours or even days at times, and they just need some relief. We have a group of volunteers in Tulsa that Paul is also part of that sit with the patient no longer than 4 hours, but overnight. So typically a volunteer would show up at 8 p.m. at the bedside till midnight, then the next one would show up midnight till 4 a.m., and then the next one 4 a.m. till 8 a.m. So it is a little longer time. It is a commitment, but it is very rewarding and much needed for those caregivers who are just so exhausted.
Absolutely. And Paul, this is something that I guess as Nina described it to me, something that I can see the definite need for. I think whether it's dark outside or whether it's the fact that we all seem to you know, be feel more pain at night. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like a definite need that you're filling there.
Yes, and you really, most of your time there, because the person is in the process of actively dying, most of your time is just being present. And I think there is, people think that because they're not communicative that they're not aware, but a lot of times they're aware and they hear everything, they know everything that's going on around them. And so you're there to, you know, they know that you're there with them, and you just are a calming presence. And that's for somebody who's going through that trauma, it's very important to have somebody there.
Is it fair that I compare that to, like, when after surgery, you're kind of coming out of, say, the anesthesia, you're not fully awake yet, but you know somebody's sitting in that chair?
Kind of like that, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think the things of the people have said when they have gone into it and back out of it is that they were aware of everything that was said while mm-hmm. they were there, and so it's just being there.
Yeah, we're going to continue our time talking about Grace Hospice, how you can get involved in the mission, when we continue in just a moment on 1400 K1.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And again, talking with Leva and Paul from Grace Hospice and some volunteer opportunities. We talked a little bit about patient companion and also the best or bedside emotional support team. And before we talk about caregiver relief volunteers, Leva, there is a website that people can go to after this interview and find out more information, right?
That is right. Please go to www.gracehospice.com. There will be a link to the volunteer area with also the application and the background check forms for you to download. Or you can simply email me at livian@gracehospice.com, and I can meet you. I can email you our application as well.
I like the idea that you'll meet somebody here locally at wherever you can have a cup of coffee or even just find a quiet corner to chat together and talk about it. Caregiver relief volunteers. I think this makes a lot of sense. Caregivers typically, other than the medical team, it's the family member, it's the spouse, it's the child, or maybe age-wise, it's the parent that are still, you know, they're doing a lot of the emotional support and caregiver for the patient.
Absolutely, yes, and it can also be a friend or a neighbor at times. This is for the patient who lives in a home setting, either with their loved ones or alone, but mostly with their loved ones. And when that one needs just some relief, and honestly, I don't even care for what they need relief for. Maybe they need to run shopping errands or get their hair done or have a doctor's appointment themselves. That's when our nursing team lets me know that this caregiver needs some relief, and I try to find a volunteer who can cover during that time up to 4 hours. So no longer than that, but basically a volunteer would sit with the patient during that time and keep a watchful eye on them, let us know if anything is going on, is needed, and then the professional staff would come out right away.
And I'm guessing on this one, unlike the first two we talked about where the patient companion, this would be something where, I don't want to call it a match, but you would typically see the patient two or three times or longer. On this one, maybe it's a one-time in and out. You're not a regular recurring guest in that home situation.
Yes, that is right. It can be a one-time. It could be a regular setup. Every patient situation is different, but yes, most likely just a one-time assignment.
Yeah, and this certainly makes sense. And then I think this is another one. You've done some thought into this. It's not the first time that you guys have done this. Specialty volunteers. If you have a particular skill, maybe you're already a hairdresser or something where you've got particular skills that the patient might need.
Yes, that is right. We have wonderful volunteers like that in Tulsa right now, but we definitely need of volunteers who maybe play a soothing instrument to play to patients, or is a licensed beautician, or maybe the volunteer has a licensed therapy dog, or they make crafts as in shawls, lap blankets for our patients. We can definitely use your skills for Grace Hospice as well.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about the companion animal. I mean, who doesn't like to have, I don't care, cat, dog, you name it, maybe not a goldfish, somebody petting a dog, petting a cat, it's a soothing, calming effect on anybody.
So, absolutely, yeah. Yes.
Paul, is that something that you get involved with too, or are you primarily in the first two we've talked about?
No, I'm more in the first two. I can do some of the other ones in terms of just sitting with somebody when the caregiver needs relief,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of the things. One of the things that I found so amazing about doing this is the training that you get, mm-hmm. because everybody goes through the process of a loved one passing or whatever, and this is incredible, incredible help in knowing how to handle that. And I don't know where else you would learn those types of skills, and yet we all need them. We all need to understand the process that people are going through, and every one of us goes through that. Mm-hmm. And so I think, to me, that was one of the greatest gifts of the training here.
So if a listener is saying to themselves, well, this sounds like there is a need and there is a definite somebody ought to do it, but I can see someone saying, but I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say.
Absolutely.
You get the training.
Yes, and the practice. And the training is very nice, but when you actually go there with somebody who's actually going through it, then you need the training to do it, but you also learn a great deal from that. And I know with family members that I've lost, that having that skill set is so vital to a family. It really is incredible to have that.
So as a experienced volunteer, I think I can call you experienced based on the what we've talked about, it's likely that a new volunteer would shadow with you a time or two before they're out,
yes.
launched on their own,
yes.
so to speak.
Yes, I've had people shadow with me. And yes, that helps a lot. But just the basic training is, you learn so many things that you just never knew, and they're very vital.
And I would, again, by implication, it's a good training situation. See one, do one, teach one. As a trainer, you benefit by training somebody else.
Yes, you do, because everybody asks a different question, and sometimes they're questions you never even thought about. And it's always a learning experience.
Well, if somebody is interested in helping out, is there a phone number that they can call, Nina? And we mentioned the website, but I want to make sure if there's a phone number that we get out there too.
Yes, it is 918-744-7223. And this number is always on 24/7.
Okay. Well, again, it is Grace Hospice. And if you have a calling in that respect, or simply if you have questions, give Nina a call. Again, 918-744-7223. Or, again, check it out online, gracehospice.com. News on the way next from the Oklahoma News Network, 5 before 9.
From the ONN, I'm Sean Carey. OGNE is sending crews to hurricane-ravaged Puerto Rico as efforts continue to get everyone's power back on.